Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Returning today to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I'm going to really try to get through the whole list of pleasures and material resources that Solomon investigated in the first section of this chapter to see how much value they add to a good quality of life. And that's what this whole book is about, Solomon investigating the different things that people think are going to bring them happiness and fulfillment, and telling us how well that works, how much that really is true. And Solomon had the resources to do it. He could buy everything that people think is going to make them happy. He could experience everything that people believe will make them happy and tell us whether it does or not. That's really what the book is all about. And so we've already examined several things on the list that has to do with pleasure and wealth, but if I go as slowly through the list as I have so far with each item, it's going to take us a long time. So today, I'm going to crank it up a bit and just work through the list and come to the conclusion that he tells us what his investigation revealed in verses 10 and 11. So thank you for joining me on this Monday, July 13. Thank you for helping me with the cost of maintaining this Bible teaching ministry on this station. Chapter 2, verse 1, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of my grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kind. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem, and my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. That's what he was doing. He describes it here. We just went through the whole list. He was investigating all these different areas of life, and as I've already said, he was in a position, because of his wealth and his authority as king of Israel, he was able to do this in a way that almost nobody else can. Obviously, the wealthier a person is, the closer they could come to being able to do what Solomon did, but there probably are only a very small handful of people in the world that could literally examine all of the areas of life that Solomon examined. Most people just don't have the resources, or they don't have the liberty. They aren't in a position where they can basically do whatever they want to do. But Solomon was. He was in that position. And so he investigates these things for us. And I've read through the list, but I'll go back and name the things one by one. And some of them we've already examined. But he examined the area of pleasure, of entertainment, of comedy, and he found that wanting. He examined the pleasures of wine, and he found that wanting. He built himself big, beautiful houses. Not house, but houses. I don't know how many houses Solomon had. But he had more than one, and I'm sure every one of them was magnificent. It was a showpiece. If anything, if anyone could have had the houses that would make them entirely happy, then Solomon should have been that person, but that didn't do it either. I spent a little time in the broadcast yesterday telling you about the houses that I've had in my lifetime, and I've come to the place where I'm really ready to start getting rid. Of course, I've only got one, and I'm not. I've never been tempted. Some people think they find a lot of pleasure in having a house at the beach and a house in the mountains and a house where they live. And of course, people of great means can do that sort of thing. And I guess just because I've never had the means to do anything like that, it hasn't been tempting to me, but I've often thought if I had the resources, I don't know if I'd want to do that. When I realize how much time it takes for me to keep my one house where I live in order to keep it maintained, to keep it up in good shape, and then I think about doing that with a second house or a third house far from where I actually live. I'm only there a little bit of the year. I guess, again, if you have enough money and you can hire other people to take care of those things, it's not such a big problem. But for me, it's never been attractive. I've thought and come to the conclusion that when I go someplace for a vacation, I'll rent somebody else's house. I'll let somebody else take care of the maintenance and the upkeep and all of the things that it requires. And I'll just pay them for the time I'm going to be there. I know that I pay an awful lot for that privilege as far as the 1 week or 2 weeks that I'm there. But to maintain a property like that, that does not commend itself to me as the way to find happiness and fulfillment in life. It seems to me like that's probably, at least in my circumstances, would be a bigger headache than it would be a pleasure. And Solomon doesn't go into any details here, but he says, I did this. I built houses. I had a house, a palace in Jerusalem, and I had a palace in the forest to escape when it was too hot in Jerusalem to go to the place where it would be nice and cool and so forth. He had all those things. And then he mentions gardens and parks. That would really, really bring an awful lot of delight to some people. People who especially love nature and love plants, love gardens, they would be thrilled to have something like that. And sometimes my wife and I will be watching television together, and we'll be watching one of those programs where they show large estates in the countryside, particularly maybe in England, for example, and we look at those and we go ooh and ah, and we enjoy watching it and seeing it. But again, frankly, there's an awful lot of cost and work and labor involved in having that pleasure. But Solomon did that. He built gardens and parks. And then he had what my Bible calls servants, but literally it's slaves. He had lots of slaves to do all the work for him. So that did take part of the burden off of him. He didn't have to mow his own yard like I do. He didn't have to do any of his own maintenance, like I do some of it, though less of it than I used to as I'm getting older and just finding that physically I can't do it as much. But he had other people to do his work for him. And he goes on to mention that he had flocks and herds. If you, in a day when Solomon lived, when flocks and herds basically were considered a form of wealth, if people had big herds, big flocks of animals. That's what made them wealthy. Well, he certainly had that. He had all kinds of wealth. Then he mentions music. He enjoyed music, so he acquired male and female singers. Music that he added to his life, and found that to be very delightful. No question about it. He's not saying that none of these things had any value, that they created any interest in him whatsoever. He's not saying that. He said, also, I gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. He had wealth beyond compare, and he had it in any form he wanted it. The special treasures of kings probably refers to diamonds and jewels and that sort of thing. Kings tend to collect those. We know about the crown jewels in England and so forth. So he had all of that. And then he mentions this. It's rather a delicate way of putting it. In verse 8, he said, after he said, I acquired male and female singers, he says, the delights of the sons of men. What's he talking about? He's talking about his harem, his concubines. He's talking about the pleasures of sex. He explored that to the fullest, and we all know that about Solomon. In fact, that's what got him into trouble. But he explored that. Nothing was denied him in that area. He explored it all. And then finally, he mentions honor and fame. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained in me. He had a reputation for wisdom. Remember the Queen of Sheba who traveled all of those hundreds of miles to come and to investigate for herself and to talk to Solomon and to find out if he was as possibly as wise and great and grand, his kingdom was as grand as had been reported. And she came to the conclusion that it was grander. he was wiser, and the kingdom was grander than had been reported. She'd only heard the half of it. She went away in utter amazement. He had honor. He had fame. His fame went out across the world. That's what a lot of people consider to be the highest goal in life, to become famous. Solomon had that. He had all of these things. What was his conclusion? Well, it is, and I'm going to give it to you, and then I'll show it to you in the text, but he tells us that all of these things brought a measure of satisfaction, but no lasting value. That's the conclusion. Verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. So that's his way of saying there was a certain measure of satisfaction in all of these things. Working to experience these things and to acquire these things, there was a measure of satisfaction in it. But now we come to the bottom line conclusion. Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. No lasting value. All of these things provided a certain measure of fleeting pleasure, but no lasting value. In the end, at the end of life, it really didn't amount, as we would say, to a hill of beans. It didn't really make his life happy or fulfilled. It didn't add any kind of lasting value to his life whatsoever. That was his conclusion. Let's learn from this wise man as God has given this wisdom to us. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.